based on the first stages of devotion, then how do we classify a devotee? Now, Sri Rupa Goswami, he suggests that the person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service can be classified by his particular taste. He says that devotional service is a continual process from one's previous life. So, the same way that as we, if we get involved in karma and jnana, so then by our desires, then we get the gross and the subtle body, and we will be, you know, based on our desires, in that body in the previous life. Now, so similar for the devotees. The devotee who was engaged in devotional service, so he has some particular taste. He wants to perform devotional service a certain way. So if he did not perform enough of devotional service to be purified to the state of that he can go back to Godhead, so then he gets another chance, but then he will be able to continue devotional service right when he where he stopped. And then based on his desire, his taste, how and what he wants to do, how he wants to continue, then he will get the chance to do that. So that shows very nicely also how we should understand devotional service. Devotional service is eternal. There is no loss. When we perform any amount of devotional service, that stays with us. By Krishna's extraordinary mercy, he considers that this is eternal. It stays with us. So we should not consider as a waste of time if we practice activities which will be no devotional activities. So therefore it's sometimes very confusing and very very disturbing also when devotees are so much into yukta vairagya, right? We use everything in Krishna consciousness. So then, when we are supposed to practice the six exchanges, loving exchanging among devotees, there is nothing we can say that we can utilize to drop any of these in the name of yukta vairagya. So, gifts, now giving and accepting, that will stay. It may just be how we, what is the devotee's ability, right? So then maybe the cost of the gift, but then the gift can be even a word. Then that we exchange the, we are able to open our mind to someone whom we trust, and we are willing to help those who need to be helped. And prasadam, it's one third of this. So two are regarding prasad. So to serve prasad or to accept prasad is very important activity in Vaishnava's life. So we cannot simplify that we will we will not eat or we will refuse. And the etiquette, how to cook, what to cook, and how to serve, it's extremely important. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, a lot of pages, many, many pages, are description of eating and cooking. And why is that? That's because it's so important in Vaishnava's life. So we should not minimize that, saying, we don't have time, or we don't have the resources, we cannot do this, we cannot do that. No, it should not be. We should try our best to really do it their way, it should be done, whatever it's pleasing to the Lord. So, descriptions are very clear. Devotees sit in line, and there is one senior devotee who serves, not new bhakta. And it's not that one comes, takes the place and sits wherever he wants. No, it's in the line. Then you have the senior devotee serving. And then as they eat, then the service is constantly going on. So then they are not in anxiety that something finished. I have to take more because otherwise I won't get next time. It's extremely important. Then the prasadam can be an experience. Yes.
Is it necessary for devotees to endeavor to perform all of the six loving exchanges, or is it okay to focus?
They enhance your devotional life. Now, why would you want to skip on some?
No, I mean, not that I want to skip, but just if you're completely absorbed, the whole day serving people prasadam, then is it important that you don't give people gifts?
Well, as I said, giving gift can be even a word. You don't have to go to New Market in Calcutta and buy some piece of glass which looks like a jewel. So then you give it. You don't have to do that. No, gift even can be just a really nice offering. Of appreciation. Even if you invite someone for prasad. So if you nicely appreciate that the devotee that he accepted your invitation and came for prasad, that itself you make him feel great. He actually feels that there is some exchange. So many of these activities are going on daily anyway. And especially when you are with somebody whom you are intimately connected, your friend, so you naturally open your mind. You have something to say, so you say it because you trust that he can give you some answer. It's not formal activity. We should not think that I have to every six activities I have to do every day, from 5 to 6 I have to give gifts, 6 to 7 I have to take gifts. 7 to 8, then I have to reveal my mind, and 8 to 9, listen to somebody. It's not like this. It's going on seamlessly, but we should understand when it's going on and why is it going on. And we should not be trying to not to do that, or like a simplified, not understand the principle. Like, okay, in the house, then, okay, if we invite somebody, we invite maybe 2-3 guests, because we don't have much space, we don't have much facility, but we take care of the guests very nicely. If you want to invite more, then we will sponsor some prasad in some kitchen. We don't have facility in our house to invite, 50, 100 people. Sometimes it happens that sometimes devotees are so over excited and they invite many and then come even more than was invited, and they don't have anything to give. So then quickly they make something which doesn't even go together. So there is the excitement and the spontaneity, it's there. But if you invite somebody who is hungry and wants to eat something and he doesn't get much or almost anything, then how much satisfying will that be?
Not very.
So therefore it is said in the Shastra that it's better to satisfy one guest fully with all the facilities than to take care of 100 and not fully. Out of 100, you may satisfy 99. If you don't satisfy one, then the ceremony is not considered successful. But if you satisfy one fully, take care, then it's successful. So we should be very careful how we go about it. I remember, prasad also, it's not necessary that you have to very elaborate, expensive prasad. I remember it was in Delhi before the temple was built. So then there were some temporary facilities. And then many times I was going there coming from Vrindavan or coming for breakfast, and I liked prasad very much. It was very simple. It was one sabji and then hot chapatis with ghee on top. But the chapatis were made as they are being served. So hot, nice, simple, but really excellent prasad. So then you appreciate very much. It's properly served. Doesn't take much of resources, but it's pleasing. Now, when you have, also we experienced at some places that devotees try to do very elaborate feast, but it cost a lot, so they try to save. So then we had on one feast there was probably everybody knows paneer butter masala. But instead of butter, they use oil. So it looked wonderful. But when you take it, it's nothing to do with that. So now, preparing feast this way, it's not the best, because the devotees should enjoy the feast. So they expect it's going to be something nice. When take it, it's very heavy, and they may be offensive to prasad. So then, why to create it? If we don't have that much money, make something simpler, but it should be nice and tasty and properly served. Prasad, even when it's simple and properly served, it's pleasing. It's wonderful. When you have elaborate prasad, sometimes happen on the GBC serving. The Matajis, they cook so many preparations. Some is South Indian, some is North Indian. But the particularity is that it has to go together. You have to serve rice and sambar, right? And then you have the vada or whatever is the other things. Then you have to serve some other dishes, separate, different way. But sometimes the brahmacharis don't know, so they just serve as it comes. So then, you get rice, and sometimes even sweet rice they give you right there. Before even the sabjis. They thought it's the raita. You have to be conscious while serving. That's why you have to be somebody who knows how to serve. Then it's pleasing. Because if you get something already mixed, and then you don't know what to do with it, then where is the appetite? Where is the possibility to appreciate the prasad? You are already getting agitated. Why is he putting it? And then the consciousness which you are supposed to be absorbed on taking prasad, accepting prasad, and enjoying the taste of Krishna prasad, where is that? Oh, Prabhu, eat this prasad. Well, yeah, okay. But it was nicely cooked. Now, the Matajis who cooked it, they were all excited that it's going to be nicely served and nice prasad. When they see that, they are horrified. But what can they do? They are not serving. They cannot do anything. They just can only watch and not be really... And very few can appreciate it because they know it got mixed up. Many will think, what is this? This doesn't go together. Sometimes they had rice and pasta. So we have to make it not really understood how we put it together. So the serving is extremely important. The prasad is extremely important. Yeah? Yes?
For another question. A devotee can be classified by his particular taste.
Mm-hmm.
What is an example of a type of classification of a devotee in that way?
Well, what is the taste? The rasa. Uh-huh. No. So somebody likes to serve Krishna as a friend. Somebody likes to serve Krishna in parental rasa. We may not know, but our only qualification is to serve our guru. And then when our time comes, see, we don't have to speculate of what is our taste. When our time comes, we will come to know. No, that's again, there is a class of Babajis, and then they give you the Siddha Pranali. So they tell you who you are. But that's among the real Babajis, that's disclosed when you are on that level. But there are those other Babajis then who disclose to you immediately, and just you should practice that. But that's really nothing to do with reality. So one should not really worry what, if one is on the level of sarana bhakti, there is no need to worry like what is your siddha svarup or the original position. You just perform duty to please your guru, follow instructions of guru, and based on guru sadhu shastra. And then you get purified. When you get purified, you will understand who you are. What is your position? Okay. How one become eligible for devotional service without continuity? Even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest in a pure devotee's instruction, he can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. So, now, example, again, Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, then he may have connection from the previous life, that was definitely something. But even if not, he was very determined that he wants to get a kingdom bigger than Brahma. And because of determination, then Narad Muni, he saw that he can use that as a way how to make him perform devotional service. So, he instructed him. So Dhruva Maharaj was very sincere in the instruction which he took from pure devotee, in this case Narad Muni. He was going to use it he was expecting different result, but because he was so sincere and without hesitation, he followed the instructions of his guru exactly. So his heart got purified, his desire got fulfilled, but he was not anymore wanting the result of the desire, but he accepted it as a service to the Lord. So that's the power of following instruction. And it was one simple instruction. And it was the same instruction which every devotee gets from his guru. Plus you get more, but he got only one. He took it and he achieved perfection. And the same thing what he did, anybody of anybody of us can do. And, of course, now persons who have natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavata, so then, naturally, they will be able to progress faster because they relish these books. So then, the understanding of is, it's quicker, it's deeper. Like, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read his books at least 1 hour a day. For the very same reason. If we don't read, then it's unlikely, well, some may, but it will be less likely that one gets taste for the books. But if you read the books and you actually see the nectar, see the understanding, try to apply what we are trying to do here. How can you connect each paragraph, each sentence to the main principle, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Then you will see how Krishna is throughout the book. He is there. And then you can start relishing the ways how Krishna actually interacts with his devotees. So when you get that taste, then naturally you would want to read the next page and read the next page. Like I know some boys they like very much to read Harry Potter, right? That's you get excited, and then when you get excited, you want to read the next page, and then you are in it. That's the imagination. It's on the material platform. Now translate this into a spiritual. You imagine yourself being part of that pastime. Imagine yourself seeing that you can serve those devotees in the pastime. Then you get excited that something like that is possible. So then, that way, then you can be willing and you can actually have taste and you want to read the next. And then 1 hour may not be enough. Yes.
This taste for books like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavata, which is mentioned here, means somebody practiced in previous lives some devotional service that he got it or he's fine.
That may be there, but may not. It's the taste. See, in previous life, he may not be actually not even able to read. But he definitely heard some Puranas. He probably heard some stories from Bhagavatam. Something was there. But this lifetime, then he may be more educated. So that naturally, if you are not educated, if you don't know how to read, then there is no desire to read. But if you know how to read, then many want to read. Nowadays it's less, because nowadays they just watch movies. But the reading, it gives you the unique attribute that you can actually be part of the activity, and you can imagine the activity any way you want. So that's on the material level. Now if you see that activity in the spiritual, in the transcendental level, then ultimately when you are pure enough, you can become part of the pastime directly. So it's not even the reading on its own. See, reading, like reading the letters, that's not really the reading. When we say reading, you should actually be absorbing what's the meaning of it. So So when you read about Dhruva Maharaj, you should not just be reading the letters and the words and the sentences and then just seeing like it's 1 hour gone. Try to absorb the mentality. Why did Dhruva Maharaj behave this way? Why did Sunita behave this way? Why Suruchi this way? Why his father behaved this way? Why did Narad Muni come and help him? Now try to think about what was his quality. Now Narad Muni comes and he helps him. Now what can I do to attract such a pure devotee like Narad Muni to help me? I am here, I am now in this material world, and who am I? I have no qualification, I have no nothing. Now Dhruva Maharaj was at least big kshatriya. He was son of a king. Okay, I'm nobody. So, but following these footsteps, maybe some devotees will come and help me. But what should I do? Dhruva Maharaj wasn't sitting at home and just lamenting, no, I'm nobody, no, nobody likes me, father doesn't want me on the lap, no, mother screams at me, no. Okay, so what do I do? I'll just start playing games. Right? So open the computer and just start playing. No, that's not what he's doing. So, now we see he is kshatriya, so he gets offended. So, now what is this? No, I have right to sit on my father's lap. I'll show you, I'll get my kingdom, and then you will all come to me and beg from me. So that's his move, but he's very determined. So if somebody has this kind of determination, they may see very good example in Dhruva Maharaj. So then may they also make it very similar attitude, and yes, I want to achieve Krishna. I want to show everybody that that I can also become devotee of the Lord. Not everybody will, but this is the beauty of Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam has explanation for all the possible mentalities which are being created in the world. So anybody can find his way, his story in Bhagavatam and get connected to the Lord. So that way, then we will find how we can elevate ourselves in Krishna consciousness. A teacher must be able to find the way how to explain the subject to a student. The more ways he knows how to explain, more expert he will become, because he will be able to teach more varieties of mentalities of the students. So, Bhagavatam is like a teacher. It shows us all the possible ways how we can achieve Krishna. The only qualification which we have to have is we want to want. We have to want. Yeah? Yes?
A question on the previous point. You mentioned that you get to cook and serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's get to be a guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is an etiquette to be a guest. But guest is also considered as an atithi. So, atithi devo bhava. So then guest in the house is considered as a demigod.
By the host.
Yeah. So if you get a guest, so then you should treat him as a demigod. No, but guest also means for a certain time only, right? No, if somebody comes to your house, okay, I'm your guest for next eternity. So then that's not really a guest. But if somebody comes and just shows up and then. No, you take the opportunity. See, somebody just comes and maybe your friend, right? And then he's just passing by Mayapur. He's going somewhere else, and then so you see him for a day. So you want to interact with him as much as possible. Oh, please come to my house. We will have prasad together, and then maybe we'll go no little sea Mayapur, no go Yogapit, go Navadvip, and then no, have some japa, we can do some kirtan. So you want to really do that. So when he's a friend, so then naturally the relationship is already there. But when there is a guest, somebody, no, you don't know. So like Srila Prabhupada's father, no, before every eating, then he would call, no, anybody hungry? No, please come for prasad. Three times, and then whoever comes, then he will feed them first. And then feed them means that he really takes care. So, if they were Vaishnavas, then he would wash their feet, no, sit them, then feed them properly. Then if they need to, rest, no, little vishram. And then after that, they just, go and continue, on their journey, wherever they were going. That's the meaning of guest. So the guest is, he doesn't know your house. So when you invite somebody to your house, then, he doesn't know where is the bathroom, he doesn't know, what is the custom in the house. So to make him as comfortable as possible so he can relax, because when he relaxes, he's satisfied. When he's satisfied, you get the benefit. When he stands and he doesn't know, so he cannot even enjoy the meal because he doesn't know if you are eating with spoon or with hand. But if you just explain and then show, he will be relaxed because he knows that no anxiety. Then he can enjoy the prasad. When he enjoys, he will be happy. And the happiness is your credit. So that's why you should treat them this way. Yes?
When does a guest become a part of the family? How many days do you
have? Well, it's said in the Shastra, 3 days.
3 days.
3 days. Okay, now, what is devotional service in practice? Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service in practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of these senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind in such a way that our dormant consciousness for loving Krishna will be invoked, as much as the child with a little practice can begin to walk. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. Similarly, Krishna consciousness cannot be aroused simply by practice. So this is actually a proof that every living entity, it's by default not conditioned. We have our internal propensity is to serve Krishna. Now we are ignorant of it due to our conditioning. So by practicing devotional service, we remove the conditioning and we will see the reality. Now, if that's not there, then the argument here, Prabhupada says that one cannot just simply practice devotional service or become Krishna conscious by practice, because if the propensity will not be there, then the practice will not help us. The child has a potential to walk. We will practice walking with him, he will start walking. A bird has potency to fly. You teach him how to fly, he will fly. You don't teach him, it's unlikely. Well, sometimes may start flying on its own, sometimes just it dies because he doesn't know how to fly. So similarly, the spirit soul, the potential of the spirit soul is to become Krishna's servant. But it's dormant because it's covered with the ignorance, by the ignorance, by the conditioning. To remove that, devotional service is in place. Once the devotional service is there, ignorance is removed, naturally it will be awakened, and we will take pleasure in doing the service. But until then, then we will do it as a duty, knowing that we want to awaken the real propensity to serve. So like by taking bath in the morning, by not being vegetarian, by not smoking, we will not become Krishna conscious. But following this, then we will be closer to understanding what process should we take to become Krishna conscious. So what is the condition of conditioned living entity? In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, generally, the conditioned soul is mad, because he is always engaged in activities which are the causes of bondage and suffering. So we know that we perform activity and we are going to suffer for it. Some people, like a kleptomaniac, right? Goes on stealing. He gets caught many times, but still he cannot give up the propensity to steal. So he's a mad person. But all the conditioned living beings are mad. Now some is more obvious, some less obvious, but they are mad because they do the same thing. They keep stealing from Krishna, constantly being caught, because there is no place we can hide ourselves from the stealing anyway. And we don't learn. So there's madness. Yes.
Reduce the madness, remove the madness, so that like the spiritual master can understand the attitude of the disciple
and
help to remedy the madness.
There is a remedy, and the remedy, if taken properly, taken seriously, it can remove the madness. So then we actually understand that what we are doing is just, it's nonsense. It's a waste of time. Why do we do it? But if we don't decide to do that, if we don't desire, if we actually feel not accomplished, or we take pleasure in that, or we take pleasure in controlling others, in our madness we are mad in controlling others. We may take pleasure in that, but that will keep us here. So we have to understand who we are. So by the expert doctor, by the spiritual master, then he gives instructions. Our qualification is we need to follow these instructions. As the doctor gives us the medicine and the process how we get rid of it, we just have to follow it. What is Krishna consciousness and what is the role of Acharya? Narad Muni mentions this Sarana Bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.132. He says there to King Yudhishthir, "My dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means. That is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the Acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. This is the beginning of Sarana Bhakti." See, that's the importance. I think we already discussed it, no? About the importance of accepting spiritual master. Because we have to be, we are conditioned. He is not. So we like to do certain things and we dislike certain things. So we naturally, if somebody will give us instructions to do based on what we like, then we will be likely to develop more trust to that person. So it's important that we see we have trust in our guru. Otherwise, how can we follow instructions? So we should choose accordingly whatever that we see that follows, that suits our conditioning. So for example, if the guru is a very great book distributor and he wants every of his disciples to do book distribution, but we don't like much to go out and distribute books. We rather maybe to take do pujari service or maybe in the kitchen. So then if he gives us an instruction, okay, go out and distribute books, are we going to take it and with our all endeavor do it? If that's not, then maybe we should not see him as our most prominent Shiksha Guru. We should look for somebody who will give us instruction which suits our conditioned mind, our conditioned nature. Because then, when that's there, we engage ourselves in our conditioned nature based on his instructions and we get purified. Once we are purified, it doesn't matter what the next instruction is. Next, he may ask, okay, now you go for book distribution. Yes, I'll go. And I'll spend the whole marathon, I'll go. I don't mind. But when we are conditioned and we didn't want to do it, then we may have doubts. And then if doubts are maintained, they may become misgivings. And misgivings don't help us in progress, not to progress in devotional service. So why do we create obstacles like that if we can simply avoid them? Because in the beginning, as we are on the Kanishta level, so then the Vapu, it's important, we need some connection, we need to see. But as we progress, the Vani is more important. But until then, until we understand that, then we want some personal service, something which suits our conditioned mind, not to do, to please. But we should not be trying to stay on that level, because this level is very uncertain. Yeah. Yes?
Purification is what... What level of advancement is this when does it come? It's like,
which one?
This when one is ready to just surrender, as you said.
Oh, means, well, generally it's going to be anatta nivritti, no, nishta. Then you see, nishta, it's a very stable platform. You know that what you are getting from a spiritual master, that's the way. No, you have no doubt. Knowledge may not, but you are purified, and you see, now I'm purified, I'm more or less free of the materialistic desires, attachments. So I have full trust in my guru. He's a bona fide guru. He follows everything based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. He taught me to see things based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. I have full faith in him. So now, then you can say, okay, now, so what's next? So then he gives you instruction, then you already have the faith. Yeah, no problem. If you don't know, then okay, you will fail. But the ego should be already so much reduced that you don't care if you fail or not. It's you try your best to do it for Krishna. If Krishna doesn't want you to do it, you will not be able to. But if you surrender and you try to do it, Krishna will give you all the facilities and everything what you need to do it. So it's between you, Krishna, and your guru. But before that platform, then you have all these prejudice. Now you have some you are thinking about kind of like that you don't want to do this. No, I don't like I know few people say like they don't like something, right? But it's a mental platform. Now, I know. Well, I know my brother, right? He does not like tomatoes, right? So he cannot eat, not this, that. But when you make it like a tomato puree, he can eat so much of it. It's just a mental, no, mental block. Just, I cannot eat, no, the tomato. I know there are some, no, some other boys, there is, we had, what was it? I think Sabu or something, no, doesn't like Sabu. So, cannot eat. But then you make the Sabu a little differently. No, you mix it and cook it nicely and make it so it doesn't look like Sabu. He can eat so much of it. So it's not that he's allergic and he dies of it, right? No. It's a mental block. Yeah? Okay. What are the two stages of sarana bhakti? The first part is called service according to the regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles by the order of the spiritual master or on the strength of authoritative scriptures, and there can be no question of refusal. This is called vaidhi or regulated. One has to do it without argument. Another part of sarana bhakti is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. So we already discussed that. So the difference is, one is out of duty, the other one is out of because you want. There is attachment. So out of the attachment, you are interested to go for Mangalarati, not that you get written in the book that you were now present. So there are the two main differences. And one cannot pretend to be doing spontaneously devotional service unless it becomes actually spontaneous. And spontaneous devotional service does not, I mean, it's mentioned here. It's a Raganaga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and execute devotional service out of natural love. So Raganuga devotee does not reject anybody who follows Vaidhi Bhakti. It's the same process. It's a Sarana Bhakti. The mood is different. So, one may perform puja for the deity because he has to, it's there. One may perform the same puja to the same deity and actually have a nice interaction with the deity. There was, in South India, there was some Brahmana, and then he was worshipping Shalagram Shilas for 20 years. And then, after the 20 years, he got realization, no, that's actually how it came, that he expressed himself that after 20 years of doing puja to Shalagram Shila, he realized that he is the Lord. He realized that's the main thing. But took him 20 years of worship, so probably the focus wasn't so great. So it depends on our focus, on our desire. Then we get the full benefit of that activity. Yes. Sorry? Mm-hmm. See, in children, the nature is very flickery. So they want to do something, not this week, and next week they want to do something else. Today they want to help with cooking, then next they want to help with maybe cleaning, and they don't want to do cooking at all. So in children, and this is actually the natural process of development, this is when they get the experience, this is when they may get a taste for it, and they may start to like to develop one thing, but they may not want to do other thing. So we should do everything for to help them. So if they are interested in that particular activity, engage them. Doesn't mean to buy expensive stuff and that's not Shrimati Radharani. No. How does she engage? Engages the propensity she wants to cook. She makes her own clay pots, she cooks and she plays. But her mood was such when Durvasa Muni comes, she feeds him from that. And she feeds him some clay ladu or whatever. And he is amazed. So therefore she gets the benediction that whatever she cooks will be nectar. So the mood is such. So we have to also help the children. So if they are interested in worshipping the deities, we don't have to buy them expensive marble deities and this, that. No, just can start with maybe some small pictures and then see what they do. And then if they like, then as they develop, then you create the facility. But if they stop, then we should not be lamenting. Oh, I waste so much money and so much this on you. Now you have to do that. No, they are children. So therefore, we should not be feeling bad if they just shift their consciousness somewhere else, their focus somewhere else. It may come back, may not, but there are children. Yes. Well, see, generally it's up like 10 years. Then it can be very flickery. Now, from 11 years, when the puberty comes, then they can be more directed. But at the same time, they also are more disturbed. But up to age of 16, they are considered children. So we are responsible for them. But as they get older, then the periods of their interest is also longer. So when they are not below 5, it can change every week or month. It's natural. But as they grow, they should get some responsibilities, some small responsibilities. Say like they can take care of one plant or some wipe little place in the house. And then expand on that.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama